Amen, amen. Praise the Lord. God is good all the time, even when we're not. Amen. He'll help us get right. Praise God, praise God, praise God for another training day, giving honor to Jesus Christ, who is the head of my life. Amen. The head of the church. Amen. And we are his body. Amen. Destined for success and blessing. Giving an honor to Christ, amen, and my producer, Pastor O, and his lovely wife, Sheila, and amen, and the saints, and the ministers and staff, and deacons at Running for Christ Ministries, and all my friends and brethren at Word of Faith, Faith for Life, and the sister down in Jamaica, amen, praise God, hallelujah, my young brother over in Africa, amen, and I just thank God for the opportunity to be able to communicate with people. You know, it's this, I really believe this is, I would say, my time. Amen. God is, you know, it's amazing. You know, we talk about how Moses was 80 when he started his business. Some of you may know Joyce Myers. She was 53 when she started, you know, and it's amazing. She never attended a Bible college that it allowed God to put his word in unadulterated. You know, just thanking God, amen, for this marvelous opportunity. Let us go before the throne of grace. Amen. Gracious Heavenly Father, we do thank you. We do praise you. We do bless you. We give you all the glory for this day and these days and our lives thus far. We do honor you and bless your holy name. Father God, we're asking that you continue to bless us with your word and the revelation that you want us to have in these last and blessed days for those of us that have decided to follow you and your word. Father God, we're asking that you would strengthen us with might in our inner man. Bless each and every one of us with the different challenges that we are facing, but there's a reason behind them. Hallelujah. There's a destiny, and it does come to an end. Amen. The sun will rise upon every situation. Father God, we're asking that you would continue to bless us with the intelligence of your wisdom and a deeper revelation of the knowledge of Jesus Christ, blessing the eyes of our understanding more, that we will better understand what is the hope of your calling, the riches of your glory, the inheritance that you have in the saints, and the great and exceeding power that you have made available to us that submit and obey your word. Father God, bless us to continue to understand and to walk in love as you have designed it. Father, bless us with the knowledge of your will, and give us the strength and the courage to carry it out so that we can walk up front before you and be fruitful in every good work. And bless us to grow in the knowledge of you. Father God, we're asking that you bless right now, that my tongue be that of a ready writer, to write upon the hearts of your people, to give the revelation that you would want them to have. We want it to be all of you and none of me, and we thank you for it in Jesus' name. Amen. You know, it's something to get used to this life. You know, I know with people, they look at us, and because they can't see into the spirit realm, they only go by us, and that's why it is very important for us to live a life in alignment with the Word of God, because everything is connected to the flow of the power. Our influence over other people is connected to how we conduct our lives, not just what they see, but what God sees, particularly in our heart. And I want to say to the young people, don't trip, because you know, you got a long way to go. You know, just like we won't hold a baby accountable for what we will an adult. See, I've been at this 45 years, so God ain't taking a whole lot from me. I mean, I've been at it. I mean, I've listened to thousands probably of messages, and I'm accountable for what I've heard. So you're accountable only for what you heard. So don't. I remember when I first got delivered, and after 3 weeks, I wasn't perfect, and it didn't look like I was going to get there. After 40 years, I'm still not perfect. But I've improved. I remember the Lord sweetly comforted me and said, look, give me 25 years, and if you still feel like you want to give up, you know, then go ahead. And it's been 45 years, so it's a walk. You're learning to be the God man, small g. You know, it's not something, the only book that has the full, clear revelation on what that is the Bible. You can't get it. Even if you go to theological seminaries, and I have friends of mine that graduated, and it dawned on me, it was presented to me by a graduate, high-level graduate, a very esteemed man of God, that they didn't teach about the kingdom of God. The primary message of the Old and New Testament, the kingdom of God, this message, the purpose of the fruit of the Spirit is about the kingdom of God. It is not about religion. It is not about trying to put restraints on your life. It's trying to help you understand that God had designed us in a specific way with specific intentions, and that is what this is about. He is saying this fruit of the Spirit, I've designed a skill set for you that you will need throughout eternity. And this is the very basic aspect of that, because we're not where Jesus is. See, Jesus gave up being in heaven. See, he came down from heaven to earth, like the song saying, you came from heaven to earth. He understands this fully. You know, there's an old saying, if you want something done right, do it yourself. But there was a timing involved, particularly something I learned, the Roman government. Prior to the Roman government, countries like the country of the Syrians and the Assyrians that you read about in the Bible would go and capture a country and take them back to their homeland, then try to, you know, persuade them to live their way. And you find instances where that didn't really work. But that didn't work on everybody, because once you got a connection with God, you never change. You know, you can bring change, but you won't change. You know, I remember when I started working in Wayne County, this sergeant told me that I was going to change like all the other Christians. I said, no, I'm going to bring some change. And we did. I didn't do it by myself. I had some blessed partners, sanctified, Holy Ghost-filled, praying folk that had shared the same vision. Anyway, so what this is about is it's just like anything else. You have to be prepared, because, see, just like John said in 1 John 3:2, although it does not yet appear what we shall be like when he appears, Jesus, we shall be as he is. Now, when we read that on the surface, and I know the common thinking, because there are doctrines and denominations that are committed to the fact that this life will just go into a total peaceful state, which it will, but as a person, our biology will not change, you know. But, you know, there's still this issue of, did you ask God about it, or did you just believe what somebody told you? Because I'm a confident person that if you do ask God humbly, humbly is without a prejudiced mind. You know, because without a prejudice, if you don't have a prejudice, if you go to God with a prejudiced mind, you're going to come back with the same answer you had before you went to him. He's not going to argue with you. He's not going to debate with you. Okay? You know, and a lot of people, is they go through that. You know, and this is critical, because then you have really, I don't know, you put somebody, I'm going to use the right word, you put somebody else in God's place. I don't care where he graduated from, what his title is. He's not God. At the end of the day, that's something I got a list of corrections that I wanted to make. One of those, don't misunderstand me when I say go to God, when I was talking about James, as I'm going back there. But I'm like, you know, your pastor will tell you if you're wrong. So if you're not sure, yeah, you talk to your pastor. But you need to be learning. Pastors teach you how to seek God for yourself. See, that's what they do. They a lot of times God will share things with me, and I keep it to myself, especially if it's like new to me. And I'll wait for him to, I would say, certified by a man of God or a woman of God. See, and it happens every time. A lot of times you're going to find when you really lean into the Word, you pick up the Bible and you just read it. Ask God, pray and ask God where to read. You want your general reading. You want to read through the whole Bible, just read it like a newspaper. But then there's study time, and that's what you want direction from God, because your life is different. You may be a Ford engineer, and God might want to show you some things, and he can use what your environment that you work in to teach you some things, okay? You might be a politician. God might want to, you're trying to see, you. It's some things you have to know for your environment. But you always want to go to God. Pastors are not omniscient. They do good, but they ain't omniscient. Okay? They'll correct you. They, for the most part, them and their staff will be able to show you in the Word whether you're right or wrong. And don't feel bad if you're wrong. I don't keep track of the times that I've been wrong. But, you know, and the Lord comforted me one day because I was really let down over that, you know. And he said, you get it wrong because you try. So when you try it, I mean, you know, somebody once asked Edison, a reporter said, I heard that you had, 1,999 failures trying to make the light bulb. He said, no, I found 1,999 ways that a light bulb can't be made. So, you know, it's how you look at it. It's a step. One thing, though, the Bible has got comforting statements that though a man falls seven times, the Lord will raise him up. So you're going to trip and fall. I mean, it ain't like it ain't no devil out there, okay? So what we're talking about is the purpose of the fruit of the Spirit. The purpose of the fruit of the Spirit is, as it says in Romans, to renew your mind, to shape you into the person God wants you to be in your environment, okay? If you're a CEO, God wants you to be a CEO that can pay the janitor a living wage. See, this is what this is about. When you are in alignment with God, the sky ain't even the limit. God's word is the limit. What's going on in the world today in business and industry is a disconnect from God, and they've made money God. And that wasn't it, you know, back when I first started working at Chrysler, I remember that was like in 72. There was only 100 billionaires on the planet. Now, it's like they got to find a new way. Well, one way they call billionaires is you got to be running a business. Okay, but why? Why are there billionaires and in California is the safe haven for, I mean, if I was homeless, that ain't happening. I will be homeless when God is homeless. If God ain't homeless, I'm not being homeless. But anyway, I pray for them people every night. They're on my prayer list because they just need a revelation of Jesus Christ. But anyway, but they out there, but you got billionaires, one of the richest states in the United States. I wouldn't want to face God on that because in Luke chapter 16, that don't go well when you got that kind of money that you don't need for years and you letting people die of starvation. Isn't it? You know, I mean, God, money, sex, and power tell God how you going to act with this full power when we get it. If you won't get it if you flunk the test. This is training day, baby. This is training day. Don't think you got money. You ain't. Listen, I don't care how brilliant people are. God could wipe. Nebuchadnezzar was brilliant. He was known for it. He was a strategist. In Daniel chapter 4, that dude, by the time he had been running around raggedy for 7 years, totally out of his mind. And, you know, God, listen, when it was over, he was on his knees praising God. That's why we had to pray for our leaders, okay? All right, so we're talking about the fruit of the Spirit. And let us go to our base scripture in Galatians chapter 5, because I know I'm going to have at least one new person. And verse 22, you know, it said, but the fruit of the Spirit is love, which we covered, joy, which we started on, peace, patience, kindness, goodness, faithfulness, gentleness, and self-control. Against such there is no law. Those who belong to Christ Jesus have crucified the sinful nature with his passion and desires. Since we live by the Spirit, let us keep in step with the Spirit. All right, so he's made it plain. That's the goal. That's the achievement. If I come out of sin, I'm still living in sin 10 years later. Now, some things are not instant. When God delivered me November 16, 1976, I was living with a woman who is now my wife. But anyway, it's amazing. Before that night, I didn't think it was wrong. I hadn't read the Bible, hadn't been to church, so I was at the church where I got delivered. But I could sense a change had to be made. So I made some arrangements, got up out of there. It was not an easy deal, but I did. The fact, this is the deep part. Now look what happened. God blessed me with the baptism of the Holy Spirit while I was living in sin. How much love can he left me He was so concerned about my eternity that he stepped across the line just like he did the thief on the cross. See, that's why I don't quit. I remember when I started. If God didn't want me to make it, he could have left me in the mess I was in. And that was just part of it. That was the good part. All right. So he'll walk you through. And like I said, I didn't jump up and start running like a champion. You know, like I said, you go through some changes and some challenges. But mine wasn't nowhere near what the disciples and the believers during that time where James was talking to the disciples. Mine was nowhere near that. Wasn't nobody threatening me. The closest I had a friend at work. He did. You know, so man, I thought about that earlier, you know, because he slapped me. He slapped. He wanted to see if I was going to turn the other cheek. In my mind, I had knocked his face off because it's a natural reaction. Even now when people walk up on me, my fists ball up real quick. It's just natural. I've trained that way. Okay. But apparently an angel had held my hand because I didn't knock his face off. And the deep part about it was it changed a lot around because people knew I was a tough guy. You know, you don't mess with rich. You know, I wasn't mean. I just didn't like bullies. I still don't like bullies. But anyway, that's why I don't like Satan. That's why prayer, listen, prayer, master prayer, because prayer is when you get to jump on Satan's head, especially when he's messing with countries. You get to go and attack him. Use that. Again, this lesson and all the previous lessons, you have to be in a state with God. You make that a primary. You have to be in a state with God. Once you're in alignment with the words, angels going to do what you command. Angels going to do what you say. Your word is going to work. See, I used to wonder, this is how I got it. You know, I got to these lessons because the words work. So I wanted more detail. I want to know, Lord, okay, why not? What's going on? And then I listened to people talk. One of the rules of that across prayer failure is you must control everything coming out of your mouth. That's Mark 11:23. You gotta say, you have what you say. Jesus said, you will have what you say. You will have what you say. So again, here, those rules are still in play. So when you're talking about the fruit of the Spirit, because you know, you can't go by feeling is a delay. I would say a delayed reaction of a revelation that occurs when your Holy Spirit communes with your inner man spirit and send information up to your mind. Then you express joy. Okay, but the more knowledge you have about God and how He operates, the more confident you are. You feel better all the time. You know, it takes a lot more. Some things will sting you. Shock you, I recently was stung when a cousin of mine passed away. Anyway, because, you know, I mean, her personality, you know, you know, like they say, you wonder, like, sometimes, God, like, these folk run around here acting ignorant, to hear this good person come away. And for those of you that have experienced that, somebody, you've lost a loved one that didn't seem, they walked upright, read Isaiah 57. I call it an incentive. If you want to see them again, make sure you go to heaven. Read Isaiah 57:1. But anyway, so let's get back into this. We're talking about, still talking about joy. Now, joy, with my Greek definition, I can't find it in my notes. I should have had that up there. But anyway, joy in and of itself, it's think about the gas in your tank. You know, it keeps you going. Matter of fact, I do want to read. You have to forgive me for my nose here. Having technical difficulties. Nehemiah chapter 8, verse 10. Nehemiah chapter 8, verse 10, a very familiar, frequently quoted scripture. because in these times, particularly, like I said, right now, we're facing all kinds of challenges. You know, you got people been unemployed for a year, and it's really challenging because these people have been unemployed, particularly now. You have the way society is structured now is a little more challenging than it was back in the 70s. We went through this in the 70s, and we were so used to fighting that it was just like less of a fight being unemployed. You know, I mean, it is really amazing, you know. Anyway, in Nehemiah 8:10, and you want to keep this, it says, Nehemiah said, go and enjoy choice food, sweet drinks, send some of those to those who have nothing prepared. Let me get back to that. This day is sacred to our Lord. Do not grieve, for the joy of the Lord is your strength. Now, you can cross-reference the word joy and rejoice, and you will find that's an expectation. But you play a role in that. Okay, it don't just automatically happen. Your mind plays a role. You have to bring your mind out of it. It can be a battle at times. It can be a battle. But it's just like I've said in previous teaching, I remember, if you train at something enough, it becomes a natural response, almost to the point that you don't really notice the change. Because one is past experience of success with God. See, here Israel is coming out, and with Nehemiah, they're coming out of captivity because they was clowning. They clowned, and then they wound up in captivity. Truth be told, I know some of y'all won't like this, but if you talk, I met a African history teacher. And the thing you had to, I asked God this question a long time ago. How did we wind up enslaved? And he's like, you know what, when you don't call me, I don't answer. And if you look at some of the cultures, I have seen videos, and Bible gives a clear warning not to drink blood. Okay, I'm not talking about a medium rare straight steak. Okay, my wife be getting on me about that. I get medium rare. No, these people worship. Part of their worship was drinking blood from a caribou's neck. Okay, see, so that's how, when you do stuff like that, you enter into Satan's territory, deeper into Satan's territory, because if you're not in Christ, you're in Satan's territory. I didn't make the rules. Read John 1:12. It speaks for itself. They were standing, I'm watching these people, they cut the caribou's neck, and then they letting the blood run out, and they drinking it, and then whatever ritual they do. That's how, things like that is how we wind up in captivity. You lose your protection. And see, and this is what I'm trying to share right here with the fruit of the Spirit, to not just live any kind of way. Now listen, you can enjoy life. I went roller skating. I didn't, and it wasn't gospel night. I go roller skating every week. I go in and I thank God. I go in and save, I come out saved. That's the decision I make. Because one, I want to be able to minister to people. But they're going to be looking at how I conduct my life. Man, people read your life. People read your life. Like Paul said, we are living epistles read of men. They read your life. So when you say this, you better live this, because they'll call you out. Okay, and I've been skating since 1962. I tell people I've been skating since they shot a monkey in space, but most of this generation don't know when that is. They had to Google it. But God has given us, he said in Timothy, all things to enjoy. But our limits are based on the Word of God. I don't know why I had to struggle with that, because that is it. That is it. You know, our limits are based on the Word of God. And that's really what this is about. Now, what he is telling you is what Jesus talked about, that he was sent back. That's another correction I had to make. I said that the Holy Spirit will bring to your remembrance whatsoever he has said unto you, which is the word. When you read the word, when you hear the word preached, he'll bring that to you. Remember, that's in John 14:26. John 16:13 is where the Holy Spirit show you what is coming. Thank you. And then Psalm 34:7, I transposed and I made it 37:4, which is still a good scripture. But 34:7 is where it talks about the angels of the Lord encamp around about those that fear him. So that means that's your protection. And again, angels do their job if we do our part. See, remember you from Matthew 18:10 lets you know that from your day you came out your mother's womb, you had an angel assigned to you to keep your record before heaven. So see, everything is known. And then you naturally in your neighborhood there's a demon assigned. I want to think of a teacher that does an excellent teaching on this. You can find it. You got to understand that what you see in this natural life is the smallest part of life. Look at the size of the universe. We like speck in the universe. We are so small. We think of ourselves as big with the little stuff we did. Listen, Jesus walked on water. We got to have a boat. We got to have a paddle, a surfboard. He walked on the water. He commanded the atmosphere. God wants to give us that same power. John 20:26, Jesus just appeared. God wants to give us that same power. See, we're going to be 1,000 years on this planet, so every place you haven't visited, you'll be able to visit it to the extreme. I mean, you'll be able to explore the caves in Atlanta and not get lost and we'll have to send a hunting party. Now they're discovering people been here in America like, well, I'm going to say 5,000 years ago. I'm going to agree with the Bible. Okay. Now, you know, I mean, there's a big period of time and nobody knows. They didn't have time till Adam got here. So, but I'm telling you here, to lean into the Spirit, you communicate with him. But one of the things you learn here, like joy, you know, and I really want to find this particular scripture. I remember I told you like what Paul said, be not drunk with wine in Ephesians 5:18. That was a big revelation for me because there it is. Acts 6, I was right there. Acts 16:25. See, because this is what you do. I mean, you get you a list of songs, and you keep them. Like I said, before I go before the throne of grace the first time, second time, you know, particularly because, you know, I wake up. I don't fight with – I never fight with my inability to sleep straight through, especially when I found out that I can terrorize the devil by praying, and particularly praying in the spirit, which is a.k.a. praying in the tongue, because that's what the Bible talks about, angels, the language of angels. But the fact that I aggravate him encourages me to do it because he's – payback. Payback. He messed with my life. You mess with me, I'm going to mess with you. That's the way that goes. God gave us a means to do that. Now, mind you, Paul and them, they got beat. All they're doing is preaching the gospel, okay? And in this particular case, they, by operating in the power of God, these folks have suffered a little financial loss, so naturally they nutted up like people do now. This is what they don't like about Christians. A lot of things that we know are not right will keep them from making money. That's why some of them going to be glad when the rapture comes. They're going to like gone. They're gone, but they don't have no idea. They can't even imagine what's coming. They can't imagine that, but it's coming. So now they didn't got into this thing with these people, and these people nutting up on them. And so, you know, they run into racism because it says in verse 20, it says, these men are Jews and are throwing our city into uproar. So, see, you know, naturally, this is Paul and Silas. So they got beat. They say in verse 23, it says, after they had been severely flogged, they were thrown into prison, and the jailer was commanded to guard them carefully. Upon receiving such orders, he put them in the inner cell and fastened their feet to stocks. Now, in the jail, there's a place called maximum security. And it's a specifically designed area of the jail. And it has twice the size, and this nowadays, it's twice the size of a regular cell because you only get out for 1 hour a day. a half hour in the morning, a half hour in the evening. You get out for a shower and a little walk, and then you go back in. And it's larger still, so you can exercise in there. You don't go out and play. You're dangerous, okay? And this is what they did with Paul and him. They not only in jail, they deeper in a part of jail that makes escape almost impossible, and then they got their feet locked up too. Now, mind you, this is not a modern jail. Okay, they have what we would call muck floors. You know, they didn't build no dig, use no equipment to dig no hole and put cement down in there and carpet it like these jails now are more comfortable than some people's homes. This is a nasty stinking. Ain't no lights. It's stinking. Probably got rats, and they don't have no broom. As a matter of fact, imagine why they got their feet with their feet locked up when the time to go to the bathroom. Guess what they got to do? They just got to go. All right. Now, look at this. All this for being right with God. And then it says, about midnight, Paul and Silas were praying and singing hymns to God. And the other prisoners were listening to them. And suddenly there was a violent earthquake that the foundations of the prison were shaking. At once all the prison doors flew open and everybody's chains came loose. Talk about the power of God. They actually be concerned about that stuff. It's a church I know. I ain't going to call their name. But some of their ministry had came up and they just decided to take the bands off. And they started laying hands on inmates. And this is one thing about them hardcore prisoners. They don't fake stuff. They don't believe nothing. A lot of times they go to church service just so they can get out of the cell area. They just want something new. But they got hit with something they weren't expecting. This brother, I remember his name. I ain't going to call it. But it upset the jail. It tripped an alarm because as he was laying, I don't think they didn't expect it. But when they laid hands on this brother, he dropped like a rock, okay? So when the officers saw it, they thought something was wrong. So they tripped the medical alert alarm, and here you got an army of deputies coming up there. It was so chaotic. And I'm like, wow. But the jail was never the same after that. Because, see, I know from experience, when you get hit with the Holy Ghost like that, you can no longer deny God. Because it's almost like it burns. It don't just go away right away. It's like, man, it's like you just woke up. And this is what you have in you. See, this is what you have. This spirit, it's not talking about intellect. It's talking about a person, the fruit of the person of the Holy Ghost will, if you let him, teach you to be able to do like Paul and Silas when you get, like this lady got this $17,000 bill, electric bill down there in Texas, will teach you to shake it off and go to God in prayer. Because whatever it is, those are God's situations. I was taught or heard by a preacher. Anyway, he said, call God when you have a God-sized problem. Don't call God for a man-sized problem. Do all, Paul said, do all, after you have done all, in Ephesians chapter 6, after you have done all, stand. A lot of times we don't do all. Again, this is what James is talking about. I mean, this is what Paul is talking about. Now, we're going to go back to what James was talking about, Jesus' younger brother, in chapter 1. Matter of fact, I want to read the NIV on that one too, because he's telling you something. Matter of fact, I want to read what it says in the Message Bible, because in the Message Bible, James chapter 1, verse 2 through 4, it says, consider it a sheer gift, friends, when tests and challenges come at you from all sides. You know that under pressure, your faith life is forced into the open and shows its true colors. So don't try to get out of anything prematurely. Let it do its work so you become mature and well-developed, not deficient in any way. So, again, you got to look at the long term. You're going to live forever. You're not going to be this type of person. But in the 1,000 years, I know you're going to have interaction with people that are like you are now, but you are going to be like Jesus is now, being able to go from place to place at the speed of thought. See? You know, as my pastor say, vastly changed, glorified body. No longer. You'll be able to eat. Food quality will be so good, you won't get fat, but you'll still be able to enjoy life. But at the same time, when you think about the energy flow that you're commanding, when you look at what angels do in the Bible, we will have more authority than them, power access than them. So you have to be conscious of love your neighbor as you love yourself and love God. That you will make decisions that you yourself won't agree with. But it pleases God. It is what God wants, and that's what you do. See, now, like I say, here, James said a lot here. One is don't get out of anything prematurely. See, I was watching this movie documentary on Polycarp, who was a disciple of John. And they had decided at the time to still, there was an increase in the Roman persecution, another phase of it. You know, I think they were persecuted Christians like 17 times. Anyway, so there was a decision, do we stay here or leave? And that comes down to, Lord, what do you want? And a lot of times you're going to be in a situation. Now, let me throw this out here. I got to put this out there. This is not that time in history like they had then. One, they didn't have all that we have right now. I'm going to tell you right now, I'm not going to teach on that. I'm putting together documentation from the Word on what is called prayer of imprecation. It's imprecation. That's for you Bible students that want to get in, leap into that. It is using faith as a weapon. There are times in the Bible that it was used as a weapon by itself, but it was with mature individuals. It's just like now, having a gun. You can't just take a gun, get angry, and shoot people like people are doing now. And I used to see people coming to jail all the time, and they act like they shot somebody with a toy. You know, I had one dude. I wanted to smack him because he talking about he didn't understand why the judge gave him so much time because it wasn't going to bring the woman he killed back. I wanted him to experience death, but, you know, that didn't happen. See, so we're moving into another era, too, toward the end. We don't have, God ain't gave us a calendar where we know exactly what day the rapture is going to be and we know exactly the level of persecution in the United States, what it's going to be like. Right now in other countries, in India and China and Japan and Russia and the Middle East, Christians are going through extreme challenges. Mainly, I think, this is my opinion. This is just my opinion, solely my opinion. Nobody else's opinion. This is not Run for Christ's opinion. It's not Word of Faith opinion, not Faith for Life opinion. Only my opinion. I think they just really don't have the revelation of how to use the power of imprecation because they don't have weapons. That put them in the case of Elisha using that. He prayed for an army to be blinded. And he took them in as captive. Okay? But look who you're talking about. You're talking about a prophet of God that walked up right before God that had a double anointing. Okay? But now we have the Holy Ghost. But again, his life has a story to it. Okay? He understands. He operated in the fruit of the Spirit before, look at thousands of years before it before this was written. They played out what we are now reading about. This is why they know this. Everything that Paul and them teach that you see reading in the world, it's reading in the Word, its foundation is in the Old Testament. See, it was an evolutionary process. Satan perverted that too. He tried to turn it to, you know, all that crazy stuff that they teach about evolution that ain't even possible genetically. All right, man, time getting along fast. All right, so I'm saying all this about joy, that you can have it, because we're going next week, I believe, to peace. But we love gives you your get you help you get a grip on it, so you can have joy. Because you, and again, you must have the knowledge of the Word of God. Now, for you new people, that there are books on the promises of God. You want to learn them, you want to know them, and because those are what you pray to God, those are what you believe God when you're facing whatever challenge you are. Go and find it. If you don't know, if you don't know, can't find it, find that. Now, that's definitely a time you ask your pastor, because he's going to know. Well, depending on where you're going to church. I know if you're going to Word of Faith, Faith for Life, Running for Christ, they're going to know. The staff going to know. They're going to know the promises of God. They're going to know the Word of God. That I can speak on. And there's a lot, you know, there's a lot of good churches out there, you know, but a lot of folks stuck on religion. And they, when you hear somebody say God is in charge, God is only in charge of the life of those that let him be in charge. He gave man dominion in Genesis 1:26, and he has not repealed that. It does not get repealed or does not end until Jesus comes back and sets up his throne in Jerusalem. Now, people can believe what they want, but the facts going to speak for themselves. A lot of times, people now, like I say, it's about what you know. I've had to deal with this. I've had to deal with threats on my life. I mean, legitimate threats. When a man didn't kill, we don't know how many people and two police officers. You got to believe him when he threatened you. But you had, that mean that I knew then. All I had to do was stay in line with the Word of God. My life and my family would be protected. And we are here today. I'm not just saying stuff. I've had to go through stuff. I've had direct contact with demon-possessed people. We'll talk about that one day. And they had no authority over me. They couldn't even resist me. I mean, that's something. But again, all the challenges, see, the challenges that Satan is going to throw at you is designed to get you out of your place of power. This is why James said, don't try to get out of it right away. Particularly, folk, listen, I know y'all folks, you got married, 6 weeks later, the person that you married showed up. That you're like, who are you? This doppelganger. Get out of my house. No. That's all that is designed to shape you in the spirit realm. And, yeah, I know sometimes it seems like it can be a long time. Throw the clock away. Quit putting it on the time meter. Learn to enjoy God. That's when you draw closer to God. Listen, let me help you. When it comes to love, God is your source of love. He gives you love to give. When two people get married, God has given them love to give to each other. Now, if one runs a deficit, you're still getting yours from God. Nah, don't count. Don't keep a thing of how much you give, because the situation could change in a heartbeat. You know, life comes with a lot of challenges, you know. And you will get, you know, like I said, the Word said, though you fall 7 times, the Lord will lift him up. 8 times. I quit counting. I didn't try to wait to see if I was going to do 7. That came so quick. Like, I might as well just lay down here. Every time I get up, I get knocked down. Listen, God knows this program, but you really got to pay attention to who you are and what you are in Christ. James is telling you here, when he say count it all joy, your joy is your promises of God that you can count on, that it ain't going to last. And you're in a situation now. Like I said, once you master prayer, if you don't have a master for prayer, if you haven't mastered it, you're new in Christ, get with somebody that has, somebody mature. You know, you really do. Ask your pastor. You'll probably assign somebody to you. And that's what you thrive on. See, this is why James was telling them, count it all joy when you fall into divers temptation. Now, they was getting, I would say, on-the-spot revelation, and God will do that with you. He won't just leave you hanging. I remember God giving me scripture that I hadn't even read, and then when I went over to the Bible and looked, it was exactly what he said, exactly what I needed. See, Holy Spirit is a person. He can talk. He will talk to you. He's not going to try to talk. Well, the time he would seem to want to talk when you're watching something, the Word. But then again, when he's talking and you're watching the Word, he really, most times, is enlarging or expanding or unwrapping something that you heard while you was watching on TV. I'm telling you, this is a loving relationship. So you want to let patience, and the King James would say, let patience have her perfect, mature work. So you want to do that because when it does that, you don't get shocked by so many things. Like I said, I'm not shocked at all about what's going on. I'm more curious about anything. And that, as we go into these labs, leads us to, in the Greek, a word called irene, peace. Love, joy, and peace. Now, again, peace is not a situation where everything in your life is in alignment. You know, I thought about it. I was talking with somebody, and this was in the war, and it's like two men in a foxhole. Sitting around, bombs are flying, bullets are flying, and they may even have a couple of dead bodies in the hole with them. But they sit back talking about the neighborhood, like they, you know, they 9,000 miles from the neighborhood, but they're not even concerned about what's going on immediately. Why? Because they know an airstrike is coming. An airstrike is going to take out the enemy. If you ever watch a war flick, I know I'm speaking Chinese to some of y'all. But they're not concerned. At some point in time, God is going to do something. See, again, I know it's hard for us to imagine living like even 500 years, 1,000 years. The oldest man in the Bible is Methuselah. He was 969 years. Imagine what he experienced in all those years. See, we think we got it down packed, but then we're coming into, we don't know what the future holds. We don't know because, again, look at what science is. They just landed a vehicle on Mars. Okay, I don't know what God is going to allow them to do during that time. All I know is we will be around to assist them. And we're going to have to deal with people and their issues. Okay? Yeah, you know, some of y'all are going to get a Trump. Yeah, I take that back. Trump, all right. He's got issues. Trump was a prayer failure. And it wasn't his prayer that failed. It was ours. Okay? I've run through that one. All right. So now we're going to move on to the next one in Galatians chapter 5. And that's peace. Irene. That's a type of, it's not hard. It's when you're all right with God. You're all right. God is all right. That's the biggest thing about that. Again, peace comes from knowing the outcome, and the outcome is based on the Word of God, your promises. It says it's a state of national tranquility, exemption from the rage and havoc of war. Remember, I was just talking about that, sitting in a foxhole, bullets flying, bombs flying, and you all right because you know an airstrike is coming in. See, when I pray, I was taught to pray the Word of God. See, you know, my mother used to keep a calendar book. Apparently, this was an Oral Roberts teaching because we're talking about 50s, late 50s, 60s, 66, 67. And in my home, you know, on Sunday, you knew you was going to be watching. Sunday evening, you was watching church on TV. Okay, that was a new thing. That was your first televangelist. And anyway, and I noticed my mother had a calendar book, and at that time, 1966, I had got in trouble. God moves. Whoever said God moves in mysterious ways was right. It ain't in Scripture, so don't look it up. I tried. But he knew. See, he knew where I was headed. You know, that was the first time he tried to get me straight. Took a while. I was about to take the third strike, but I didn't. Anyway, so I got, but this particular time I got caught up. I was innocent. I actually was innocent this time. But I was with some people that were shady as all get out. And they did some shady stuff. I get into the car. Then we drive a little ways, about a mile, and the police surround us. And the worst thing of all, it was a flower shop nearby, and my mother was coming out of the flower shop while I'm stretched out over a police car being searched and being cuffed and put in the car. Yeah, you talking about feeling low. That right there, my mother was so important that that was the decision to get away from them guys. And I'm glad I did, because they all went to prison. You know, it was right on time. They all went to prison. But I wind up, I shouldn't have been, I wind up on probation because I was totally innocent. I just, you know, that's how they did us then. That was, it was just us, J-U-S-T-U-S. But the issue was, my mother had a prayer book. I had a calendar, read a calendar book, and she wrote down, every time I would go to court, she would write down in there, I prayed that Richard would return home. See, the peace in the household, one was, I think I got assigned to everybody's chores for getting arrested. So everybody else was having peace. I was working like a whore. And my mother kept my father, kept us separated because he wanted to, you know, spare the rod for the child, even though I was 16. That was going to be ugly. So, you know, but it was not havoc in the household. And there was no concern. I wasn't concerned because I was confident in my mother's prayer. When you're confident in the word, you will have peace. That's your, right now, everybody that's upset, they don't have, if you don't have peace right now, where's the word in your life? Where's God in your life? Because if God is in your life, if the word is in your life, you should be at peace. If you're quiet, God will bring you. I know God will bring a revelation and resolution. Revelation and resolution. There's nothing too hard for God. I'm telling you. You know, you really got to lean into this. Now, and like I said, again, the peace, that's where you get to this part about, which we're going to talk a little bit about next week, probably now. What comes out of your mouth plays a tremendous role on that. You must pay attention to what you say and speak the word only. It used to be a program came on the radio called Speak the Word Only. So again, whatever your situation is, you have a covenant with God, all right? The number one issue was that Jesus provided a covenant with you. There's lots of covenant teaching on there. Jesus provided an agreement, a contract agreement, which God will always uphold his end of the bargain. And it's too many testimonies to say he won't. If it's not happening, then you got to do some searching and find out what the problem is. It's on your end. But and then it may just be a time, because this is another thing about prayer. If it involves other humans, it may take a minute because they slow getting the revelation. Like I say, Bill Gates still ain't sent me that $10 million check. He's trying to figure out who's Richard overall and why should I send him $10 million. Just let God do it then. Anyway. But the point of the matter is, talking about peace, that's that blessed assurance the song may sing. Because you have a covenant with God. You have a promise. There's a promise of God for every situation. Now, that there's something you need to understand when you're dealing with people. The promise is, if your life is in alignment and you believe in something about somebody else, you can't override them. See, if they're not in alignment with God or in agreement with God, you can't override them. Okay? So that's, but you can consistently pray for them. And if you're not getting it done, find another mature person to join their faith with you over that situation. Because sometimes this is how life is designed. We're supposed to unite to fight. See, this is why the word is written And we're going to talk about that. I'm going to make a note on that, about corporate prayer. But again, so you have comfort, okay, that comfort and feel free from war, the threats of war, particularly in our case, spiritual warfare right now, you will feel comfortable knowing that you prayed the word and you can believe God. My mother and her, the way she addressed me up until the time I got delivered, spoke volumes about her comfort in the promise of God. Because she would talk to me like it was already done. I would be listening to her, and I knew somebody in my family had stitched me out, you know. But she would talk to me like the job was done. She never came to me and said, "You just a drug addict. You just throwing your life away. You just useless. You just this and you just that." She never did that. She would talk to me. She would read the Bible and talk to me, and I would hear. I had a friend of mine. He passed away. I miss him so much. But anyway, him and my mother could talk for hours on the word, and I was just outside of the circle, you know. But she never put me down. Because she was taught to say that which she believed God was going to do, and that's why we turned out the way that we did. So if you got children, you got to remember that. See, tell them. Say, "Listen, I got a prayer rope on you, and you ain't going no farther than that rope. Go out and have a good time. Bye." Because they won't. Oh, man, and I got to say this before I close. I just received another revelation from a pastor. He's teaching the same thing, and he's been advocating, make sure you pray protection over your children. Call them by name. And this is big, because somebody just took my name and my family down, and this is because I call it the doorpost blessing. Something's going to go on. We already see COVID, right? So, you know, be that as it may, that's another blessing. I may pick up on that some more. All right, so we're going to close this out. And if you haven't received Christ, if this is your first time tuning in, or you've been going to church, they find this out. People go to church, they like the church, they like the people, but they never make a commitment to Christ. It's a really simple process. All you have to do is pray this prayer with me. Heavenly Father, Lord God, creator of heaven and earth, I believe Jesus Christ is your son, and I believe you sent him to die for me and for everyone that was born in sin. I ask forgiveness for my sin, and Lord Jesus, I ask you to come into my heart and to save me now. And Father God, I thank you. I believe I receive my salvation. I stand on the promise of your word, and I thank you for it in Jesus' name. And if you're a Christian and you backslid because of all the challenges that life has thrown at you and you were confused over what happened, then I want you to pray this prayer. Father God, you said in your word in 1 John 1:8-9, if we confess our sin, we are faithful and you are faithful and just to forgive us and to cleanse us from all righteousness. I believe you at the promise of your word, and I receive my forgiveness, and I'm restored and in fellowship with you again. I thank you for it right now in Jesus' name. Amen. Excuse me. I'm going to leave some information where you can get some resources, some information. The more you know, the better you can stand, particularly when it comes to the promises of God. And with that, I'm going to say, remember this. Prayer works by faith. Faith works by love. And God is love. Shalom. Be peaceful. Love somebody, hug somebody, pray for everybody. Hallelujah.
It's your boy.
Got a dudes you mess with usually be frontin'. All I gotta do is call his name, he coming. No taxing, all action, what you need from him. He'll provide anything you need, if you just believe. All it takes is faith the size of a mustard seed. And you can reach any goal that you're trying to reach. My plug love stretch far away beyond the streets. No petty ish, my plug on that heavy ish. Think Sosa mixed with Ox off that belly ish. Yeah, I know you like the sound of that. Been searching around for that, you on my head, trying to see where I found him at. It was early one Sunday morning. I was down on my luck and plenty storms kept forming, just trying to find a way. I prayed to God to see better days. Then he told me that he got me, I'm forever straight. You look around, you need that love. That love, I got a heavenly plug. Got many blessings and they from him above. Because I quit hustling, slanging them drugs. You ask why? Don't need for bucks, all he need is your trust. For you to praise him when you get back up. Now I've been getting up from God about a year straight. And everything been smooth, yeah, I've been straight. He ain't never told me no, maybe just wait. And he always been on time, he never been late. Sometimes when I be tripping and get impatient, he made me realize I'm winning cause of his greatness. He said his grace and his mercy endure forever. If I repent of all my sins, he'll forgive whatever that I did in my past, knowing it wasn't right. If I turn away from sin, he'll give me a new life. So I tried him out, it only made sense. Now I'm on the ground for Jesus and I can't quit. The devil want me to fall and yeah, I may slip. But God wrap his arms around me so I can't trip. Now when I go out in the world, his blessings are with me so I can let my light shine. That's just the God in me and you can be the same way. And have the same faith, but you gotta change. Cause me, I ain't the same Dre. It won't happen overnight or all in one day. But he's able about his children, man, my God don't play. So is you down with it? What you trying to do? You wanna call him up? Well, this is how you do it. Get down on your knees and keep your head to the sky. Make a promise to the world that you gon' serve God. You look around, you need that love. That love, I got a heavenly plug. Got many blessings and they from him above. Because I got a heavenly plug. I quit hustling, slanging them drugs. You ask why? Don't need for bucks, all he need is your trust. For you to praise him when you get back up.
It's your boy, Ariel Jones.